B-Pod Studios.
97.5, The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour of the Mike Misnelli Show. It's 97.5, The Fanatic. 610-622-0975. The 3 o'clock hour, of course, brought to us by Corpolis Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie. Hoagie Party Tray is every bit as good. We had a 2 o'clock winner for one of our Hearst snack trucks, Dan Moreland. Congratulations to Dan. He's a frequent emailer, by the way. So Dan got in. Nice job. Okay, let's talk some football issues and also some serious issues with our next guest, who, of course, provides football information to you via the NFL Network. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. James Palmer joins us. Hello, James.
How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
We're hanging in there. That's what we can say. We're not fantastic. Nobody's fantastic. But we're hanging in there. All right, so first of all, let me talk. Everybody knows your dad, of course, Scott Palmer. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the 10,000 employees with MLB that volunteered to take part in the COVID zero prevalence study, and he's taken the test. Now, I'm sure you had discussions with him on this. What was his viewpoint on doing this?
Well, obviously, I mean, if anybody knows him personally, I mean, it was a no-brainer for him to say, yeah, I'll be one of the people to do it. And they found out a couple of weeks ago that this was going to start being something that their Major League Baseball is going to be a part of because of, you know, you got people all over the country from different socioeconomical backgrounds with different, you know, ethnic backgrounds and different ages, that it was a good group that wanted to be a part of it. So they knew a couple of weeks ago it was going to happen. And, you know, he said it couldn't have been easier. He went down to CBP, you know, wearing a mask. They gave him the kit and, you know, filled out everything, forms of, you know, everything about yourself to if you've had symptoms or anything like that. And you take the test home and you just kind of prick your finger. And it's almost, he described to me, like a thermometer, like a red line goes up and there's a couple of indicators on there. And you find out really immediately whether you may have any of these antibodies. Like, this is not a COVID-19 test, whether you have COVID, right? It's it determined if you have potentially antibodies in your bloodstream that they'd like to evaluate. And then what you do is, after you send it in, you kind of know your results and you put your ID next to the test, take a picture of it, email it back to the Major League Baseball, and they'll get it off to Stanford to try to start evaluating all of these different samples put in place. But I know the Phillies were one of the organizations that had quite a few people volunteer compared to some of the other
yeah, that's an awesome thing. Do you know whether players from the Phillies did it?
He wasn't entirely sure. You know, teams had a wide variety of people within their front office, and teams have even part-time employees that say, like, even ushers or concession workers could be a part of it as well. He wasn't entirely sure if Phillies players were included or not, but there were players in the league included.
James, I've never really had a discussion with you about this. And before we get to the NFL, I'm really curious. Growing up as Scott Palmer's son, how much that influenced you to get into the business, and then what you remember about him actually leaving TV and starting a new venture?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It put me in the opposite direction, because I actually grew up, like, I went to Upper Marion High School, and I remember sitting there shooting foul shots in a varsity basketball game, and the fans are chanting the Action News theme song. I was like, oh, God, this is exhausting, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I went away to school to get away from it, and I actually wanted to be, like, a coach and a teacher, and you know, I wanted to play baseball and stuff. And so I got away from it, but then I ended up taking an internship with the Columbus Blue Jackets. I went to Ohio State, so the NHL team just started, and I worked for the club, and I started interviewing guys in the locker room and stuff, and I was like, oh, crap. Yep.
Okay, gotcha.
This is what I want to do. All right. And so I ended up doing it, and then joining, like, the Comcast family around the country, just doing different things, started as a production assistant, working my way up. But it was weird, because, you know, I didn't know if I wanted to be in front of the camera either. I was a producer first. I mean, I was an associate producer for Inside the NBA down in Atlanta and all sorts of different stuff. And then kind of the front of the camera thing jumped and got me. But it was weird to watch him make that transition over to, you know, over to the Phils. And those were the two loves that he's had, which is television and baseball. And he's been lucky enough to do both of them now.
Yeah, of course, Scott was in the golden age of 6 ABC Sports with Gary, Gary Papa, and Scott Palmer. So that's really cool that you followed in his footsteps. Sorry. Let's talk about the NFL draft. And you'll be working from your basement studio. You have a studio in your basement? What is that?
A very liberal term.
Okay, all
right. It's a converted bedroom in the basement into like what I could do with my own studio production design, you know, behind me. I mean, it's like...
Oh, so you did a production design. Like, we have a production design. That has Mike Mussnelli's show behind me. Like, that's the extent of it. So you have something like that?
I had a big frame that wasn't being used, so I filled it with, like, credentials from all over the country at different games I've been to, different Super Bowls and stuff, and then have, like, pictures of, you know, like, me interviewing Mahomes or something in footballs, and a Randall Cunningham starting lineup is present alongside of Orion Howard bobblehead. So, you know, we got a couple of things back there to try to dress it up, but then they paid for, like, hey, get these lights, get these mics, and hook it up to your computer, and we'll start working at you through that. I mean, so it's been wild. I'm sitting down here. I was on Sky Sports in London this morning talking about the draft from down here in my basement. So it's a bit of a...
Well, that's awesome. So what exactly is going to be your role during the draft?
So usually, I'll tell you, my usual role would be I go to a team within the top 10, and I embed myself with them more than a week leading into draft day and kind of tell you everything that team's thinking and what they're doing. Now that's kind of obviously out the window without traveling. And all of that is the hours and hours of shows we have leading into the draft, which again, I'll be a part of those, but from here. Once the actual draft kicks off, we're not really going to a lot of us a whole bunch because the action is in where the picks are happening. And now that it's a simulcast broadcast between ESPN and us, I mean, that's a lot of people to get into a show. So I don't know how much you'll actually see me during the draft. Most of my work will be done leading into it in the hours and days leading up until the draft initially kicks off. This is a weird deal with, you know, what you're going to see from the combination of us and ESPN.
It sounds interesting, and everybody's going to be glued to it, obviously, because this is like, you know, a live event for the first time in a really long time. It's incredible.
Exactly.
All right, so the Eagles, you know, the whole league knows that they need a wide receiver. I have no idea what they're thinking, whether they would draft by position or do that best player available. But at 21, it's a precarious spot because there are a lot of great wide receivers. Some teams may move ahead of them rather than if they sit there at 21, they think they may get a wide receiver by sitting there, but the other teams could leapfrog them. So do you think that they will make an active move to get up to get their guy?
Here's what I know. First off, I was told from someone in the building, we don't need a receiver. We need multiple receivers. Like, and that being said, it's not just one. Expect them to try to go after more than one guy. Another part of it is we know that Howie's aggressive and he'll try to go up and he's shown that that's been his MO years past. Here's what I know about how those receivers may fall. I'm sitting in Denver right now and they've done a ton of work at 15 on the top three guys and a ton of work on Justin Jefferson, who I know a lot of people in Philly kind of like, the kid out of LSU that can play in the slot and that can play outside as well, and he could be kind of one of those guys that can make an immediate impact. If at 15 you're making a big play for a guy like that, what might be there at 21? You don't know. And the other part of it that plays into it is I'm pretty plugged in Houston, and they just made the trade for Brandon Cooks from the Rams, who the Eagles actually kicked the tires on, but the concussions kind of turned them away with 5 and 6 years. But if they went and made that trade, and talking to people there is because we didn't think at 40, because they don't have a first-round pick because Bill O'Brien's traded the world away, their pick at 40, they didn't think they were going to be able to get the guy at the receiver that they wanted. So that makes me believe that they believe most of the guys that are in that top group, and if you want to expand it past that four, make it 8 or 6 guys, they don't think will be there at 40. So that shows you that they think there's going to be a run at the end of the first and at the beginning of the second. So where the Eagles play into that, who knows? But I do think they need more than one guy, and that's what I'm being told.
So they may have to trade up to get Jefferson, is what I'm hearing here.
If at 15, the Broncos are doing extensive work on Justin Jefferson, and that's a bunch of picks ahead of where Philly's picking, that means that, in my mind, the Broncos think those three guys might be gone before they go at 15, Judy and Ruggs and Lamb. So then that might throw everything for a loop if that's the way it falls.
All right, so I'll just ask this question, and this is a speculative answer. Are the Eagles more likely to move up or sit at 21 and take the best player that's available to them?
See, what I like about Howie is that he kind of waits to see about moving up. And if you try to start making a play too early, everybody knows who you're going for. And then that kind of tips your hand, and that's obviously something they don't want to do either. Like, I make last year, to be a really good example, when they went up and everybody knew Houston was going to go for a tackle, and they end up jumping them and getting Dillard, and Houston settles for Titus Howard, who I think is not as good of a player. And I think that type of move up is a smart play. But I do think the way the quarterbacks are going to go and the way the tackles are going to go at the top, two things that Philly really doesn't need, you might have, like, one of these defensive players start falling towards you, and you're like, whoa, like, what if we – I mean, Philly has a need at linebacker.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm worried about. And a couple mock drafts have them taking a linebacker, and I'm wondering how that's going to resonate with the fan base here.
I don't think they'll be real happy with that, because a linebacker doesn't do a whole lot for you until you start seeing him play games. And I mentioned Kenneth Murray. I did his pro day at Oklahoma. Philly fans would fall in love with the kid. I mean, he's a genius. I mean, his family, his parents are preachers, and they adopted three special needs kids that he helped raise while he wore the dot on his helmet for 3 years calling the defense, and he's an absolute freak in terms of physicality, and I think Philly fans would love the way he hits, and it's a need, but I don't think if you go and get a player like that, nobody's going to like that pick until you start seeing that kid play week four, week five,
yeah.
And he plays for you. There's going to be a long time of going, man, how come we didn't go get so-and-so? I just think the way that they need to look at it with the receiver group is you got how much can you rely on DeSean Jackson? I mean, I know he has great ability and great speed. There's a belief that you're going to get 2 to 8 games out of him. Okay, well, then that changes things. I do know that the way some teams are looking at things, like I'm not saying Greg Ward is the greatest player to ever play, but those type of players with the offseason we're having that are versatile and can and know your system might be more valuable than people think, because these receivers coming in making an immediate impact, that might be tough. That might be really, really, really tough. I mean, again, I'm sitting here in Denver, and I was talking to one of their coaches the other day, and they were like, Cortland Sutton, who in my mind is going to be a star in this league, they're like, he didn't figure it out until halfway through this season. So that's an entire rookie year, and then halfway through his next year, he starts figuring it out. And that's a polished receiver that came out. So how much are these kids going to make an impact year one with a virtual offseason?
Good point. Well, we'll see what happens. Big anticipation for this draft. James, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Best of luck to you next week.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, man.
All right, there he is. James Palmer, Comcast, the business hotline of Beyond Fast. So let me ask you this, Tyrone. If they took that linebacker that he's just talking about.
Yeah.
With the first pick, and then were able to take KJ Hamler in the second round, would you be happy?
I actually would be. Now, when they took him in the first round, I would be nervous. So coming in Friday for the show, before the second round happens, I'd be nervous. But if he come out of the first two rounds with those guys, I would actually feel pretty decent. I've seen that kid play. He can play football. Like, he's a good player, and he would be an upgrade over Bradham, who was the best linebacker last year, and he wasn't healthy all the time. He would be an upgrade. And I do think that Hamler, people keep saying how explosive he is, and they think he might blossom in the NFL. I could live with that. But I don't know if the fans could.
Well, here's the thing. You also can't just assume that they can get Hamler, because there might be some teams that want to push up there and grab him. So they may have to trade up anyway in the second round to get Hamler if they're going to take the linebacker.
What I think would have to happen is you take the linebacker in that scenario, then you trade up from 53 up to 40. You got to get up higher.
That's where you get Hamler.
That's where you get Hamler. Because
it'd be less of a price.
Right. And
up there.
And now I'm starting to see the TCU kid may be in the second round now because the ASU kid has jumped up for some reason. I don't know how these guys jump up.
I don't know either.
You know what I mean? Like, after the season, but apparently the ASU
kid. Because Herm is talking him up.
Well, he had the abdominal surgery because they knew they were going to have an offseason, so he went and had
this kid can play now.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
He is. And now all of a sudden he's in the first round, and perhaps the TCU kid gets pushed down, so who else gets pushed down? I don't know how this works, but there'll be a guy available that can play in the second round. And I do think that if you go watch film, everyone says this kid can really play, that Oklahoma kid.
Yeah.
And they do need a linebacker.
They do.
You know.
All right, let's go Jerome in Sicklerville. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
I like the way he was talking. I was going to say, you were saying we need a receiver. We need About two or three of them, to be honest with you. I believe that.
Yeah, well, let's see what they do.
Younger and faster. We got the quarterback already. But, well, we got two good tight ends, even though I would trade Goddard for a good pick. But we need some good wide receivers that can go get it, and that's it.
I hear you.
So hopefully it works out that way. And I just want to say, I don't know if it's right to say, but the president doesn't seem to really, to me, just too much care about what everybody's looking at with the debts and all that stuff. And doesn't look like he cares about a bad look is what I'm saying. But for Jerry and the, I know they're all businessmen, but it's just a bad look in a way to me. That's all.
Well, listen, it's easy to see what he would want. Because it would help get him reelected if the economy spikes up again, because that's what his main thrust would be. So it's not what he said. I know what's going to come out of him. What I don't know is what the people want. And if the people are out there wanting the sports, then I guess I got to go, all right, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
All right, brother. You want a general knowledge question?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Movie always. Title antonyms. So let's go with, I'll give you the antonym, Good Girls. What's the movie I'm looking for?
Good Girls?
Yeah, it's got to be an antonym.
Oh, my God. I can't.
An antonym's the opposite.
Bad Girls?
Good Girls. Good Girls would mean bad boys.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Mike Lowry.
Mike Lowry, yes. They, I'm going to watch the...
I want to watch it, too.
I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Yeah.
The third one.
The new one?
Yeah. It's on Netflix now, isn't it? Or it's on one of them.
It's... No, I think it's on demand.
Okay. I know it's on something.
Yeah, so... It made a lot of money.
Classic, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Martin hasn't been back in the public eye in a while, has he? What's Martin been doing?
Now, Martin's been around...
Mm-hmm.
He had launched a comedy thing where he didn't perform. Basically, he curated other black comedians. He's around.
I'll tell you what, Martin is on this TV. If anybody is using the old bunny ears like I am, it's classic. It's so good.
Oh yeah, the show holds
it
up.
Is. It's on there with there with The Nanny and Living Single.
Oh yeah, and Living Single used to come on after Martin.
Yes, well, it's all on this TV. If anybody uses bunny ears and streaming services like I do,
there you go.
It's on this TV. Thank me later.
There you go. Fantastic. all right, let's go to Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Drew?
Good, man. So I want to talk a little bit about the sports and coming back without fans and how I feel about that. I personally can live without sports if it means not having fans. I mean, I don't want what's a good way of putting it? Like, I mean, I'd be fine if it came back and we were limited to just being able to watch it on TV, but I think it's going to take really away a lot of the game and a lot of what sports is really all about. I think it just I don't know how to put it. It's just going to take away from the integrity of the game with no fans being there. I think. I think one guy said earlier baseball would be the least affected maybe by it, but I still don't think so, because you said, you know, if someone hits a home run or there's a great catch or something like that, I mean, the whole adrenaline of the fans can do so much for the enjoyment of a game that I just think it would be a really bad idea to bring sports back without fans yet.
Well, listen, here's the reality. We're probably not going to get sports back with fans until like deep into next year, right? Because that's the only way, the safe way is we get the vaccine, and that's how people can come to the ballpark again. So this is the only form that you're going to get it in. Now, is that good enough for you? Because a lot of people think it's, especially since now Fauci says there's a way of doing that. Once he comes out, and that's it with bag, all right, well, listen, I'm out.
Once
Fauci comes out, I don't know what his motivation is for saying it, but if he says it, I go, well, what am I going to do? Fight him?
Right, I know. I don't like him that he came out and said that, because that does bring up a whole can of worms, because now people are starting to think, you know, and I think we're still a little bit way too early to be getting into that mindset yet, Mike.
Yeah, well, I don't know. All right, man. There's your general knowledge question. It is a Major League Baseball question.
Favorite, probably worst one. Okay.
All right. So in 2010, this Cuban defector throws a pitch clocked at 105 miles per hour.
Oh, is that guy from Cincinnati, Chapman?
That is. Aroldis Chapman is correct. 105. By the way, did you see the tweet from Marcus Stroman of the New York Mets on Kyle Larson?
No, what did he say?
Yeah, see that? Kyle Larson, of course, is the guy, the NASCAR guy, said the N-word. Got fired by his own racing team. He got suspended first by NASCAR, and then fired by his own racing team, setting off a lot of consternation within the NASCAR ranks.
Yes, they're very the average fan is very upset about it.
Yes. So Marcus Stroman said he should never be allowed to race in NASCAR. Said that derogatory word so nonchalantly, your apology doesn't matter. Post-career, I'll fight this man in a UFC event for charity. He needs to get his ass beat. Would love to hear him say that word in the octagon.
Wow.
Ooh.
Now, that's real smoke. He's looking for real smoke. Now, that was the one issue when we played it, because I have to edit it. We can't just be playing that word.
Right.
He was very nonchalant. Like, if you ask me, he said that word thousands of times in his life.
Oh, and he probably used it like the day before.
Right, like
he was so cavalier, and it just rolled off his tongue. And right. it was the hard one. Like it was just like so.
He couldn't blame quote rap music.
No,
because he's never heard that one in rap. Like he can't do any of the usual excuses.
Right, the usual excuses that I've been getting from people in my email.
Yeah,
but he
so
definitely
he can't. None of those apply to him because he didn't say that.
No, and he definitely uses it as an insult too.
Yes.
It's not like not that there's any way around it at all.
I get where you're coming from.
Right. Like, he definitely was like, this is how I insult people.
There are times.
Is I use this word.
There are times where people say it when they think they have a certain level of street cred on the past.
Right.
But they don't. This wasn't the case with him. This was him trying to. And that's why.
He wasn't trying to be cool.
Right. And when I was a kid, that's why my dad told me if somebody says that word, you know what? I am proud of it. You hit him in the face before the ER's out. The first time somebody called me that, I hit him right in the face. Guess what? He never called me that again. Uh-huh. I remember I was in kindergarten. First time it happened to my brother.
You whooped him in the ass in kindergarten?
Yes. First time it happened to my brother, it was at kindergarten. The guy was in my class. He was 2 years older. So my brother fought him before school. And then at recess, I knocked him out of recess. he never said it again.
Wait, was your brother big in kindergarten?
No, but he was tough. He got into it right away. That was the rule. He said, because there was times where we would try the whole tell the teacher stuff, and all they would end up doing is bring us together and tell us to shake hands. Nope, that doesn't work.
No,
that's not a punishment. We'll make sure he doesn't say it again.
Yeah. You know, it would have been great if your brother, like, didn't hit him at the time and grew up to be, which he is, 6'4", 300.
When did Terrence get big?
And then seeks out the dude. You know, remember when you called me kindergarten? Bam!
He didn't get big between 8th and 9th grade.
Okay.
He played for the 135s.
Good Lord.
By Thanksgiving time, and by freshman football, he went from 135 to 225.
Oh my God.
From Thanksgiving, like basically in 1 year.
Oh man, you're the dude I call that one. No, I mean, no, please. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Let's get an update on our Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Natalie?
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,300 votes on this one so far. Are you okay with sports returning this summer with no fans? 80% say yes, 20% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. Well, it's 3:30. And you know what that means? It's time.
Oh.
It is time for our daily feature, which was started yesterday, actually. Called Tyrone Hates Alt Chick Lead Singers. And if you put that together, that spells Thatchels.
Thatchels.
Yes, Thatchels. Tyrone hates Alt Chick Lead Singers. Thatchels.
Hatchells.
All right. Yes. So today's selection is a song called You Should See Me in a Crown by Billie Eilish. Tyrone, kick it.
Bite my tongue, bite my time, wearing a warning sign. Wait till the world is mine. Visions I vandalize, cold in my kingdom size. Fell for these ocean eyes. You should see me in a crowd. I'm gonna run, there's nothing to hide. Watch me make them bow. One by, one by, one by, one by. You should see me in a crowd. Your silence is my favorite sound. Watch me make them bow. One by, one by, one by, one by.
All right, you can cut it right there. Now, there is no shot that you like that. A little spooky, mysterious, little strange goth chick, Billie Eilish. Nat, you're into Billie, right?
I love Billie.
And a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Right? She's a youngin'. And so, Tyrone?
Yes, yeah,
the verdict.
She recently turned 18 years old, so I don't have to talk about a child. How about you stop mumbling there, Billie?
It's part of the thing.
This is the thing, right?
Look, it's part of this generation and the way that they do their music.
Right, so here's my problem. Mumble rappers get destroyed, right? But the Grammys this year decided that Billie Eilish was the greatest artist to ever live and gave her every single award because this album was the greatest album in the history of the world. No, it's not. Stop. Here's the thing. If she would just open her mouth and stop talking with her teeth together, she might be a great artist.
This is the thing. It's clear. See, I knew that 100% that he wasn't going for that.
Yeah.
Because Ty, he gives no regard to, like, the singer does not have to be pristine these days. The singer accompanies the beat. Like, this is why you don't like grimes, why you don't like Billie Eilish, because she's not sounding like, you know, some crystal clear bell. Nah. This is an alt version of her singing the song to that spooky
thing. And I think she's talented. She arranged that song. The song works. She doesn't have to sing with her teeth together. And because she tries to be too cool for school.
But it
works. So she's trying to be cool.
For that kind of vibe, that voice works, which is the same I'm talking about with grime.
It's also that generation. And her earlier stuff, my favorite song of hers is actually her earlier song, Ocean Eyes, which is from 2016.
You mean she actually sings?
Yes, that's where you can really hear her voice. But I do like her new stuff. She's like part of like this movement. She doesn't she's not sexy. She wears like big baggy clothes.
Right.
It's part of her whole thing.
Right.
Which I think is kind of cool.
And I repeat, she is talented. But you can't give me this mumbly mess and tell me it's the greatest thing you've ever heard, like the Grammys tried to do.
Well, forget the Grammys. Grammys did, whatever.
She can sing.
I am predicting these to a T. 0-2.
Yes.
Tyrone hates all chick lead singers.
But I think there will be future albums that she has that I will really like. In fact, she probably has it in her to have a favorite album.
I don't think she's going to be a singer.
She will sing at some point.
She's
going to
be this goth vibe chick that works. It's a genre.
Then that means she's one and done.
No.
Because by the time she comes back, if she tries to do the same thing.
She's got a zillion fans.
No, I think she's going to evolve with the trends, with the music trends.
Right.
And because her early stuff is not like her current stuff right now.
And
she's just going to continue to evolve with the trends.
She will be my favorite artist the minute mumbling's out. Just like I like the Migos and all these other people, the moment mumbling's out, I'm with it. She mumbles through the whole album, and I'm supposed to be told that it's an awesome album. It's not. It's not awesome. It's okay.
You see, this is a big hit, Natalie.
Yeah.
This segment is a huge hit, and I knew it would be. All right, let's go to the phones. Eric in West Deptford. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. Eric.
Hey, what's up, Mike and guys?
What's up, Eric?
I've been just listening intently because I'm off today. And I'm going to give you a little background on me really quick. I am a Democrat. I'm 48. I served 28 years in the military. 8 full, 20 reserves. I've been a bus operator in Philly for over 20 years. I've dealt with SARS, swine flu, Ebola, anthrax, and non-coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And I was telling your producer when we first got on, I personally feel this is a little bit overblown. And I'm going to give you the reasons why I'm going to say that. In the last 10 years, the flu has infected 580 million people. 260 million had doctor visits. 8 million went to the hospital. And 620,000 died. Now, coronavirus does not even have a chance to catch that. And mind you, the flu has a vaccine. Now, I've seen diseases my whole career from the military to now. Both Democrats, both Republicans are both correct in this situation. The Democrats want to be more precautious and keep you home, which is going to cause death through suicide, which was very prevalent in the Great Depression. The Republicans want to open the economy up, which is right, because people don't want to be home, don't want to be broke. Remember something. The coronavirus is hurtful. Poverty is devastating. You have a better opportunity to die from suicide the longer this goes than a coronavirus. You have a better chance of dying from the flu than a coronavirus. Yes.
Sorry, listen.
That's not true.
It's not, what you're saying is not true.
It's absolutely true.
It's not true.
It is.
The statistics say what you're saying is not true at all.
Absolutely.
There is a higher death rate connected with the coronavirus than the flu.
Well, I'm going to tell you the reason why it's a higher death rate, and every day it goes down. My sister's a doctor, my brother's a doctor, and my brother's a doctor in the military. I got 16 brothers
and sisters. Oh, good for you!
Now, well, forget the, now, like, I got doctors in my family, too. It's irrelevant. Hold on one second. Are you not, like, you think the experts who are putting out this data that it's dangerous are wrong?
Here's what the experts are doing. They're right and they're wrong. The reason why they can actually, they don't know the death rate because of the fact that there's not enough testing yet. Every day that more tests comes out, the death rate goes down because you don't even know how many people that has been infected that already cured, because it only takes 17 to 21 days. Even if you're infected like myself, who are bus operator, my brother was infected in Virginia in the military. He stayed at home 17 days later. He got tested. He was good. There are so many people in this country that are walking around with it that actually is already cured before they don't even know it. So the death rate can't be projected. You don't know how many people are infected.
There's no test. Where are you making these statements without test data?
So far in America, it's been 1.9 million people tested. Okay?
There have been 25,000 deaths. You're saying that it's okay. You're saying, I gotta move on because we can't carry this on forever. Your data is wrong. I hear what your principal says. Your data is wrong. And if this notion that, well, more suicide because we're depressed, we're going to commit more. You don't know that. You don't know that. You're saying that. The speculation and the guess that somebody might commit suicide is more real than actual data that proves you'll be infected if you go out and not social distance.
Yeah,
which is ludicrous.
I just wish he had some data to back up what he said. And the problem is he did not allude to what would the flu rate be, death rate be, if we had shelter in place. This is a fact. In 4 weeks, this became the number one killer in America in 4 weeks with shelter in place in place. Therefore, how many people would it have killed without it? And counter to that, how many people would the flu actually kill year to year if there was shelter in place? And every doctor, including the ones in his family, would say it would kill way less people if there was shelter in place. We need data. He says both sides, but the data doesn't back it up.
Listen, I'm in a very complacent mood today. So if that's his view, that's his view. But it's erroneous in a lot of ways. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, it's 3:45, Mike Mussinelli Show in a 4 o'clock hour. I do this occasionally, not very often, but I'll bring to light an email exchange I'll have with people on my company email. And this is the guy that I said a couple days ago didn't think it was a big deal, and he wondered why everybody has said the N-word in their home and have thought about it. So what this race car driver did wasn't that bad.
Yeah, you mentioned.
So I've been going back and forth with this guy, and I think it'll be an interesting, because you see how people's minds work, and this is the reason I'm going to do this, because it can be enlightening to some people that this guy actually thinks the way he does.
Yeah, I think a lot
of justifies it.
A lot of people think these guys don't exist. So
yeah,
they
do, and so I just want to bring it to light, and that'll be in the 4 o'clock hour. Okay, let's go to Aaron on a cell. Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Aaron.
Michael, how you doing?
What's up, Aaron?
Not much. I want to comment on your topic and kind of what the last caller was talking about, and I heard Tyrone ask like if he had brought some statistics. So if you can give me a minute here, sports obviously is not the most important thing in our life, but it has more of it. Like, you've talked about it before this virus. You've talked about Tyrone's talked about the importance of mental health, starting when the importance of it became more forefront when Dawkins went into the Hall of Fame and the specials they're doing on Comcast and how important it is. Well, mental health didn't get any better before this, and this is exacerbating the problems people with anxiety and depression who are alone. And sports is part of the fabric of our community, like it or not. It's become very important. It doesn't just provide an avenue of entertainment. It provides more than that. So I think with restrictions, proper monitoring, hopefully they'll find, and I'm not like busting the door opens and everybody go to sporting events. I understand why it can't start, and I don't have the answers, but I don't think, like the last caller was saying, and I don't like the way he was saying it, but suicide calls and suicide hotlines, depending upon the city you talk about, are up 23 to 120%. There's an average of 40 to 50,000 suicides a year in a country. And if you take the poverty rate that's going to increase and the unemployment rate, that's going to quadruple to 200 to 250,000 this year, statistically, if you look at suicide rates over the past 13 years. I know Tyrone said he wanted some facts. Well, there they are. And that's horrible. And I would like to, I don't have the answer for that, and I don't think the answer is to open everything up. But not addressing it and only talking about sports as being just like an avenue of entertainment, I don't think gets the big picture of what it means to a lot of people who don't even have a dog like you have to hang with, Mike. I think you got to look at the big picture for some people who really struggle with depression, anxiety, mental health, and heart issues. Like, if I survive this coronavirus and I have an anxiety, depression, or heart attack next year and I die, what have I accomplished?
I have anxiety, depression, and heart issues.
Me too.
So I hear where you're going with outlets. But when it's measured against putting yourselves in harm's way, to me, the lesser evil is to risk the isolation.
I can't worry about
the suicide rate going up when conditions in the open air are unsafe.
I'm not asking you to worry about it. I just don't think it should be put on the back burner.
It's not on the back burner. Obviously, people are concerned with mental health issues. But you can't choose, okay, let's prevent suicides by putting people in unsafe environments to catch a coronavirus.
I'm just bringing it up as an issue. I hope you allow that. I wanted to bring up something else more positive. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've talked about the all-in challenge that Ruben is doing for the Sixers. And
yes, we're going to talk about this in the 4 o'clock hour as well.
Like, you can enter to win, like, Ellen DeGeneres, mm-hmm. and I think it's amazing because all the criticism that the Sixers got, this website that they got with the All-In Challenge, I think everybody should go to it. 100% of the money is raised, being raised is benefiting, Real Meals and No Kid Hungry, America's Food Fund, Feeding America, World Central Kitchen. They've raised over $4 million. It's incredible.
Yeah,
you only need $10 to even enter it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I thought I'd bring that up, and I didn't know you were going to talk about
it. Yes, we are going to talk about it before 4 o'clock because I have it right in front of me, the things you can bid on.
Cool.
Okay. Man, general knowledge?
Sure.
All right. People by clue. So if I go Papa, Key West, Lost Generation.
Not Hemingway, is it?
It is Ernest Hemingway. Boom. That's a good pull by him. All right, let's go with Jeff in Camden. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jeff?
Mike, all reliable, man.
How's it going, brother?
It's cool, man. Like, you always, like, You always do what you say you're going to do. Remember at Fan Fest when you came over? Me and my boys was on the chairs over there.
Oh, yeah.
You came over, shook my hand, dog. Mm-hmm. Like,
yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you always do what you say you're going to do. I appreciate that.
No, and no, listen, that's the only way I know how to do things. So,
yeah,
be as honest, be resourceful, be accepting of people, and do what I think is right over wrong.
Yeah, you cannot trot out your thoughts as if they were facts, unless they were proven facts. Because yeah. That's what school is about. That's what proof is about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, detectives that are risking their lives out there are doing. They're going out there and, see, this is what people don't realize. You can't go by stuff that is, you know, we call when you sit back, you don't interact and get these things. We call that armchair.
Mm-hmm.
You know that term, right? The armchair, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So seriously, man, just stop putting this dangerous information out there and just fact check and make sure what you're saying is right. A book report, you always get three sources and compare those sources to sources that have been validated.
Correct.
I like that. Three source.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I was a journalist for a long time. I settled it too. But most of the time I try to get seven.
And I learned from you, Mike. I learned from you. You used to fly off the handle and hit people in the mouth.
I can still do that.
Yeah, but
I'll hit some people in the mouth. Like this guy I'm going back and forth with, I could clearly hit somebody in the mouth. The guy 2 days ago called me an end lover. I could clearly hit that guy in the mouth. You know, I wouldn't think twice about it.
But you don't want to go to jail, bro.
Yeah, I know. All right, man. You want a general knowledge question?
Yeah.
Here it is. We're in the general knowledge category. If a birdie is one under par, what is two under par?
An eagle.
That is correct. An eagle. I heard of that game. I used to, what was it called?
It was called golf.
It's called golf, right? I heard of it.
G-O-L.
Yeah, I mean, right? It's... Yeah, I used to dabble.
Word is, golf will be back soon.
It will, huh?
Yes. It will be back
soon.
June,
right?
Well depends speculation. On the state. Yeah, depends on the state, but
yeah.
Golf will be back soon. I mean, golf courses will be open in certain states pretty soon. As some will be open... Not
with certain restrictions.
Yes, there will be restrictions.
Well, can you have a foursome?
No,
we can't have a foursome. So you can only play when what, a twosome?
You probably have a twosome with two different carts, or two.
Do you realize? Like, I will never be a like all the people who are eager to get out and play golf. If they do that with two at a time, do you realize the backlog that would be?
Well, the question then becomes backlog golf or no golf.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Who are the chosen few that get to actually play the course?
It's going
to
be interesting.
How will the courses do that?
I don't know, but there's apparently golf because of the expanse of space.
Mm-hmm.
There are social distance. People are already writing up these social distance rules for golf courses, and those can kind of be federal. Those can, because they'll golf works the same in Alabama as it does in Pennsylvania, the Maine, everywhere. Apparently, there's already people working on that as well.
Yeah.
So golf will be back this summer. It's just a matter of, like everything else, in what form.
Mm-hmm.
Like golf, you'll be able to hit. I mean, you're Mike Missanelli. You might have to pull some strings.
No, I got no.
You got no stroke. Mm-hmm. You may not have stroke in your place. There's no place that would roll out the red carpet for a Mike Missanelli. There has to be.
No,
it has to be. Piss posh. I don't believe you. Because there's people who roll out they roll out the red carpet for Nat and I.
You mean that other clubs would ask me to play?
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do to survive. It's a pandemic. People got to understand.
It's the same problem at other clubs. There are no openings. They're going to throw me in there.
They will. When the time comes, they might call you today and say, hey, Mike, this place, first day back, you're in. 8 a.m. tea time. Let's go. Like, and beggars can't be choosers. But golf will be back. A lot of stuff's going to be back. It's just going to be back different at first. And then next year, golf's 100% back because the vaccine's out.
I haven't even swung. Like, a lot of people go in their backyard smoke. I get no desire.
Well, why not?
I can't swing an air.
You see, you're different. Like,
I can't swing an air, man. I got to play the game. I can't. Yeah, it's like, wait, I go to a basketball court and fake shoot?
Were you always an all or nothing guy? Feel like you're pretty all or nothing.
What's not all or nothing? Like, if you're playing a sport, what's, like, it's all got to be all.
No,
like wait.
The kids that can't go to the basketball court, they're still dribbling the rock.
Well, that's
why
they got a ball in their hand. You can't play with a golf ball in your backyard.
You can swing their simulations, and they got you can putt. There's no reason you can't set up something to putt.
Where am I going to putt? On concrete?
You can set up something in the backyard.
I'm going to make a green in my backyard?
Yes.
Can you realize how well-maintained a green has to be to have a pure roll?
No, you can buy one of those online greens they ship to you. That's like the turf. You could be working. You could be doing that. You're a man of means. There's no reason you can't do that.
Oh, man.
Get that in the yard.
That'll be a nice little activity for you.
If I can't play the game, there's no reason for me to go out and do stuff because it's only going to be more frustrating.
But you get your short game tight, you come back, you're making every putt.
Short game tight. I need to swing the drive. 610-632-0975 back after this.